Access number 12538, reel 3.
Mr. van Griechen, reel 3. What was the name of the road where they stopped you?
Roser Avenue. That is where the ex-girl grammar school used to be. And we were billeted in that house, first in one house called The Haven, and then a bit further down the road, which makes the corner of the Gibauderie. And that is where we were when the war was finished. What I was telling you about just now, that I was stopped by this British soldier, just around the corner, in the Gibauderie itself, towards town.
When you first arrived on Guernsey, were the people very different from Dutch people or German people? Did you find that they were very different or just the same?
No, just the same. I had very little trouble with the Guernsey people. I reckon I got on very well with them. And I met French with the Guernsey people, and some of them, well, I'm still friendly with them today. I still speak to them, and so, you know, and that is 50 years ago now. But, of course, the odd one, of course, you see, they detested us, because thinking perhaps that we were German-friendly or something or like that, which was not the case at all, you see. Now, when I worked in the Mount Duran...
In where?
In the Mount Duran.
What's that?
That is a road in the Mount Duran, cutting firewood for the Germans. There was some Guernsey men working there. And when I went there to look what they were doing, they walked away from me. And then I realized they were talking in the Guernsey patois, which I couldn't understand. So I said to them in English, "It seems to me you don't want to speak to me." They looked at me. They didn't answer. I said, "No need to think that I'm a German, because I'm not. I'm forced to work for the Germans, just like you," I said. And then they started being a bit friendlier, you know. So, by me tackling them like that, but they wouldn't speak to me.
But was that unusual?
No, it was not usual. Very unusual, I would say, you know. Very unusual.
During the war, did you think that the Germans would win or the British would win?
Well, it's difficult to say. If you start from the beginning of the war, I never gave it much thought. Huh? Who would win? But, talking for myself, I always had a feeling that the British would win in the end. And it's difficult to explain, perhaps, how I felt at the time, but I always felt not to get too friendly with the Germans in case they lost the war, because they might hold it onto you after the war is finished. I mean, say they might prosecute you for it. So I made it my business so that nobody would have anything to say about me after the war was finished. So, in a deliberate manner, I kept away from the Germans and, you know, I tried to be as unsociable as I possibly could. In other words, not to get friendly with them. Because I wouldn't like anybody to say about me that he was rather friendly with the Germans during the war.
Eh? Why did you think that the British would win eventually?
Well... I just felt, I sensed that the Germans couldn't win. That is almost impossible, because after all, as time went by, they had the whole world against them, you can say. Yeah. So, I just felt they couldn't make it.
When the Germans invaded the Netherlands in May 1940, did you see anything of the fighting?
No. Where I lived, there was no fighting at all. No. Then the Germans walked into Holland, I was working at a railway station in Amsterdam called the Amstel Station. And that station connects the big town of Hilversum, where the Dutch radio station is. So they came from Hilversum into Amsterdam. And I saw the first troops arriving into Amsterdam. And, you know, you can believe me or not, when I saw the Germans walk in, I had a tears in my eyes as a young boy, yeah? With spite and you know, I was so crushed, you know, that tears were rolling in my eyes. And there was an humiliation, you know. Eh? A brother of mine was in the army, in the Dutch army, of course, and so, and we were always thought that Holland was unconvincible with all the water they've got. They could flood the country. But with the paratroopers they had in those days, you know, in 5 days the war was over. And we felt so helpless that we had a job to get over it a bit, you know. So there you are. But...
Did you have any contact with the Dutch resistance?
No. No, not me, not because I never had a chance. I was in Guernsey right till the war was finished and never had a chance to do anything.
When you were working for the Germans, did you do anything to sabotage the work?
No, never had much chance. Especially in this island, it was almost hopeless to do anything like that. It just didn't get you anywhere. And everybody must have thought the same, because there was no sabotage in Ireland at all. Apart from cutting one or two telephone cables, but that is nothing to speak of, you know.
Eh? So, but could you do the work which you were set badly? When the Germans gave you work to do,
yes.
Could you do it badly for them?
Well, we never did know more than we had to. And we did as little as possible, of course, that if it's, which is only natural. We didn't put ourselves out. We didn't put ourselves out to please them. But if you talk about doing the work badly, well, you're talking about sabotaging the affair. And that, of course, the Germans were not stupid. They were soon knew whether you were doing the work badly or sabotaging things. They were not silly. Some people, they tried to make out that the Germans were silly. But they were not, you know, they were all there. Don't you worry about that. For example, there is stories, for example, if the Germans came and searched his house. Now, they were looking for a certain thing. But you might hide something under a cushion there, in the chair. And the Germans lifted up that cushion and saw something laying there. But it didn't take any notice of that. And yet it might have been an incriminating piece of evidence of some sort. Perhaps a little underground newspaper or something other like that. You know, put a little newspaper down. A little underground page like that in the kitchen. They didn't even realize it was an underground little newspaper. But if they would have realized it, well, you would have been in big trouble. So they say then, that the Germans were stupid to lose, you know. But we all make mistakes, and they just plain and simply overlooked it. But by overlooking a thing doesn't mean to say that you're silly, you know. Not in my opinion, anyway. So sabotage, well, in this island at least, was not on.
Did you see anything of the Gestapo?
No, not really. I know I seen some intelligence. It seemed to me I seen some German soldiers had written something here under arm, intelligence or something like that, in what was then at Channel Island Hotel. And the Gestapo, the cells, no, I seen very little of it. There must have been one or two of them. You know. For example, one day we were walking up the Grange, that is from the harbour, towards the Boer War Memorial. And just past the War Memorial, And chap overtook us. He was all dressed up like a gentleman, you know. And he started talking in Dutch to us. But his Dutch was too perfect. He didn't speak Dutch like we spoke it. Too academic, you know, like a university man. He spoke Dutch what I call with a potato in his mouth. So again, we spoke the ordinary plain Dutch, so we were straight away suspicious of him. So he started asking questions. So he said he saw us coming from the White Rock, from the harbor. What were we doing there? And straight away we suspected that he could be a man either from the German Gestapo or something other, or from German intelligence. So we gave him as little answers as possible, and all affording answers. So in the end he disappeared. But afterwards we were told that he might well have been some sort of a German Gestapo man who was able to speak Dutch. So that is only case that I ever came across a man like that, which might have been Gestapo.